Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway. A wonderful conversation will be taking place here in just a moment with my guest, Brian Stitt. He's with Wandering Calf. Good morning, Brian Stitt. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm feeling pretty good this morning.
Well, this is interesting. I'm going to do full disclosure. Usually on the Mary Griffith Show, when I book a guest, I at least have some concept or idea of what the heck they're going to talk about. But when I got the email about the wandering calf, I said, what in the world is that? And so I guess that's the best place to start. What is the wandering calf?
Well, it's sort of a new idea, so I can understand why it might cause a little bit confusion. But we are a nonprofit organization here in Quincy who really loves movies. And we wanted to bring some movies that weren't coming, showing in Quincy theatrically. And so we find spaces around Quincy that aren't being used, maybe on a particular evening. We set up a big screen, we set up a projector, and we screen them, and anybody can come out and watch them with us.
And, of course, you were just getting underway and just getting some momentum, and COVID-19 shut you down. But
that's
I said,
right.
Well, come and be on the show anyway, because I have no concept or clue what a wandering calf is, so we'll still talk about it. So I guess let's go back. Why wandering calf? Explain this to me, because I just don't get that connection at all.
Well, so we got this idea, and we started looking at places, and we really wanted to get in the name. That it moves around. We don't have our own location. It's in different locations. And then to sort of connect it with where we were, all of the locations we were talking with initially were in Calftown. We're in the old Quincy German Historic District. And one of the things that we're really interested in is doing some of these screenings in historic buildings, some places that are maybe a little bit more interesting, you know, some places where you might not expect to see a movie. And so we wanted to sort of link that together, and we thought Wandering Calf sounded like a curious name that would grab people's interest.
Well, it did. It grabbed my interest when I got an email that said, I'd like to be on the Mary Griffith Show to talk about the Wandering Calf. I thought for a minute there we had some livestock loose on the highway. So I'm glad to know. So the Wandering Calf, because it will move about the city, but it's centered in Calftown. And I imagine that this is you and a group of your friends. I mean, is this a pretty loose coalition of this Wandering Calf Society?
Yes. Right now it's just a few people who, you know, we like movies. There were some movies coming out that we thought, you know, I would really like to see that. Or there's a classic movie that I really love or that I'd really like to see on the big screen. And we just decided, I wonder how difficult this would be to do, you know, because screening rights, if you've ever watched a movie, there's that FBI warning that tells you at the beginning, oh, you can't watch this unless you have permission to do so can't show it publicly. So we just looked into it, discovered that while complicated, it was a little easier to do than we thought it might be. And so we just we started talking to distributors, and it started working out. And it snowballed from there, and now we're off and running.
Okay, off and running, but right now walking in place because of COVID-19.
Well, that's
okay.
True.
You know, I mean, this too shall pass, and everything will be okay. And now I go to the library on Mondays. Well, I used to, but now I can't do anything. I go to libraries to watch their movies that are free of charge. The Senior Center shows a movie on the third Thursday, or used to, free of charge. One of my big concerns, now, one of the movies you were going to show here was The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I mean, I can get that anytime on Netflix, on my TV. So you're basically interested in the full screen projection. That's what you want to see.
Right, and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is a really good example of that, because you can watch it on your TV right now. I believe it's available on Netflix at the moment, so you know just about anybody has access to that. But what most people don't have access to is the theatrical experience, which, number one, that movie has a lot of really big vistas, you know, a lot of beautiful shots of the Spanish countryside with, you know, tiny figures on them. And on your TV, even as big as TVs are now, it's just not quite the same as being completely enveloped in it like you are in a theater. And then the other part that I like, and, you know, there are some negatives to this as well from time to time, but I find that when you get a group of people in a room who are really all interested in watching the same movie, the more people are in there, the more exciting the movie is. You know, the exciting scenes, you know, when people gasp, you feel a little bit more. When things are scary, it's a little bit scarier to have all those other people around. It's easier to laugh at movies when you're watching with other people. And we just really like that theatrical experience, so we're trying to extend that as much as we can.
Let me ask you a question along a similar frame. I often get very disturbed because first-run movies often don't come to Quincy and Hannibal's movie theaters. The commercial theaters, of course, they're in it to make as much money as possible. They've got to make what is popular, and so they may have the same movie showing on three different screens. And some obscure movie or some independent film may never come here. A lot of times when the Oscars are announced, that it's like, haven't seen it, didn't come to Quincy. Is there any effort, perhaps, to get at least a one-time showing of more modern, you know, first-release films when they come out? I mean, we know they're going to show the James Bond film. But what about some of the other films that are coming out? Is Wandering Calf interested in that and having it at theater venue, or is it only at your own venues with older movies?
No, we're definitely interested in bringing in new movies. Last year we showed a movie called The Farewell, which ended up winning a Golden Globe for best actress for the lead actress in that. We had several movies on our books before this came out, which are independent movies which would not have played in Quincy otherwise. We actually had a deal in place to show Parasite, which ended up winning Best Picture this year and had not played in Quincy, which, fortunately for the movie, but unfortunately for us, when it won Best Picture, then it started showing at the local theater, so you could see that. So we didn't have access to it anymore after that. But we've got a couple other independent movies on our schedule, which unfortunately have been, it's thrown the movie distributors into great chaos with all the theaters being closed. There's a movie called First Cow, which we had booked, which I hope we'll still be able to show. It's a movie from a director named Kelly Reichert, who has made several very well-regarded movies, and it was sort of going to be our counterbalance to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, because it's the contemporary Western, but very different, sort of like Good and the Bad and the Ugly was revolutionary in the 60s. This was sort of a very different look at Western lifestyle, very quiet and slow, a story about the first cow brought into a community in Western Oregon in the 1820s, and how that affects the economy there.
Wow.
Yeah, and so all of those movies, this was really one of the big inspirations for us, is we wanted to see those kind of movies here, and we wanted to share them with everybody else.
It's interesting. I'd never watched A Man Called Horse, because when I was young and went to the movies, I was, you know, I couldn't watch that movie because it was rated R, and I was too little, and I couldn't go to R-rated movies. And, you know, and even during my young life, when my parents were still alive, I wouldn't really want them to know I went to an R-rated movie, but they're gone now, and I sat in the privacy of my own home and watched A Man Called Horse. But you're right about the Vista, because so much of that, when you're watching that, not in the letterbox form, but just on your TV screen, you're missing a lot of what's outside the frame for TV is inside the frame on a movie. And something
right.
like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, you really notice that when you've seen it in the movie house. And then you see it on TV, you're like, well, the person standing over there is not even shown. And it
right.
does leave out quite a bit of the nuance of a movie. And for so many people, they only watch movies on their TV, and that's fine because, let's face it, it's a cheaper way to have entertainment, and it's right in our own home. But the cinema was meant to be shown on a big screen with everything the director wanted to show you, not chopped off at the edges and the top, because that's all that fits in the frame.
Well, that's right, and there's movies, a classic example is Lawrence of Arabia, which I saw on a TV on a chopped-off version when I was young, and I really loved, And then I got the opportunity to see it on the big screen later, and it's a completely different experience. I you know, there are things that you don't even know are there. There are characters that on your TV are about no bigger than your thumbnail, but when you see it on the big screen, they're 6 feet tall, and you can see the expressions on their faces, and it's just a completely different experience.
So you're going to obviously continue this on after we return to normalcy.
Oh, absolutely.
After COVID-19. So the library has a licensing, the senior
yes.
center has a licensing, you've got a licensing now to show movies. And so
that's right.
This will be, do you feel any, like you shouldn't be in competition with the commercial movie house? Or do you feel like,
yeah,
hey, you know, if they don't want to show it, then we have a right to show it and for people to get a chance to see it?
Right. We're not here to step on any toes or anything. We're, like I said, with Parasite, you know, the second AMC Theater started showing it, we moved on. Because we're not interested in, you know, as a nonprofit organization, we're not here to make money or take money from anybody else. What we're here to do is just give this opportunity of bringing these movies into Quincy. So we love the library. I like going to the library screenings as well. What we offer, which is not to get too into details about licensing, but we offer an opportunity to see movies that maybe the library doesn't have the licensing rights to, or maybe a little bit earlier than they could have the licensing rights to that. Because we're going to be able to show currently released movies, which will allow you to be part of that sort of cultural conversation about the newest movies that are coming out a little earlier, rather than the library, who might be showing it a year after it comes out.
Right. They have what they call the blockbuster, but it's usually a year or two old. In other words, it was a blockbuster. It's not any longer. And again, I'll be honest with you. You talked about the experience of watching a movie with a lot of other people. It depends on who those a lot of other people are. Can I put on my these things
peeve me
hat?
Sure.
I mean, people who talk throughout the movie, children who go, "What's happening? Why'd you do that?" That, you know, and also just loud and obnoxious people during a movie. I don't want to be in a room with them. It doesn't increase my viewing experience. So if you have something like Wandering Calf, where people are all aficionados and they're all there to enjoy the art of the cinema, you're going to cut down on that. They're not going to be answering their phone going, "I can't talk now, I'm in the movie. No, I'll have to call you back,
right.
I'm in the movie. Oh, yeah, it's the movie about, you know, what the guy says, and at the end the butler does it. Yeah, it's that one. Oh, kill me now."
Right.
So
yeah, nobody's going to be wandering in and saying, "Oh, what's this movie about? Who's that guy? I thought I was seeing Star Wars. What is this?"
But this will be great if we can get some more what I call first-run movies, because so often it just seems to me that, and I don't even understand why it can't just be for one weekend, these movies just never come to Quincy. And is it the chicken or the egg? Because there seems to me, if there was a population of people who were inquiring of the for-profit theaters to run these movies, then you would at least get a chance to see them. Is it that they've talked and petitioned, but it's fallen on deaf ears? There's just not enough interest to make it financially viable? Or do you think it's just the easiest thing to do is pick the four top movies that week, show them ad nauseum, and move on and forget about the art house pieces?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think it's hard if you look at Quincy from afar as a statistic, you don't necessarily know how strong the arts community is in Quincy. And so you see, okay, well, Quincy is a town in Illinois with, 40,000 people. So these are the movies that they're going to like. And, you know, the people who are booking the movies nationally or who are, sending the movies out, they're not going to realize that Quincy has an incredible arts community. There's so many people here who are interested in all forms of artwork, and you know, the way the Quincy Community Theater is supported, and the Quincy Arts Center and the entire organization of Arts Quincy. It's just it's a little bit different, and so it's hard for them to just say, "Oh, well, let's take a chance on this small movie that maybe nobody's heard of and doesn't have any big stars in it." But I think what we found is sort of as Wandering Calf is a way to sort of slip in and tap into that community a little bit. And hopefully, because right now we're planning on doing just about a show every month. Obviously not for the next couple of months, but the nice thing is we're not paying rent anywhere. We just do events as is, so we'll be fine on the other side. And hopefully it will build that community. Maybe some of the people who are buying movies for the commercial theaters in Quincy will see that. And we'll see a lot different kinds of movies coming in Hannibal and Quincy. It would be great.
It wouldn't hurt your feelings if they stole a little bit of your thunder.
You know, honestly, we said it mostly as a joke, but our goal would to eventually be shut down by the commercial theaters starting showing these movies. I mean, I don't think that's ever going to happen,
right?
Because there are just so many movies.
Right.
There's so many wonderful movies that are made now and so many wonderful old movies that people maybe haven't had a chance to see. There's always going to be something for us to show. But we would love for it to be a lot harder, because right now it's pretty easy to pick movies that haven't played here.
Yes.
And we would love to make our job a little bit more difficult.
That is really not very hard to pick a movie that hasn't played in Quincy or Hannibal is quite easy. But like you said, you know, the commercial people have to be in the business of selling tickets and popcorn and soda, so they've got to fill as many seats as possible. And, of course, you know, showing an obscure movie, I'll call it, even
sure.
once or twice, you know, could cut into their bottom line. They have to be shown that it'll work. And I like what you said about, you know, the people out in Hollywood or New York are looking at what can we send to the middle of nowhere, flyover country. But I would think
right.
that the local theaters would have some direction and say, no, we're a lot more sophisticated than that. You know, we're not riding our cows from the Wandering
yeah.
Calf. We're not right. We didn't
yeah.
just get a cow in our town. You know, we have the arts. My guest today is Brian Stitt. He is the president. Are you the president of Wandering Calf?
I am the president. I am
okay.
the president of Wandering Calf.
Wow, what a great... You just must be so proud of having achieved that.
That's right.
That's what your obituary first line will be. The president of the Wandering Calf expired.
That's... Yes.
With a bag of popcorn in one hand and a jumbo Slurpee in the other, watching The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly in full screen... pleasure. Can you stay on the line with me and
absolutely.
Continue talking? Because two things. Number one, you're very fascinating, at least to me, and it's my show, so that's all that counts. And number two, now that I know what the Wandering Calf really is, I want to talk to you a little bit more about arts, because I think you're an arts aficionado all the way around. And
sure.
I don't know if it, you know, a lot of people are really missing the arts. They don't. You never know what you have until it's gone. Isn't that the truth? So we'll take
oh,
a break.
Absolutely.
You hang on the line for me. We'll take a break. And when we come back, our conversation with Brian Stitt, the president of Wandering Calf, a not-for-profit organization that seeks to bring movies in their full-screen glory to the Quincy and Hannibal area, not by using a traditional movie theater, but by other non-conventional venues. Of course, their big plans have been put on hold because of COVID-19, but they haven't been forgotten. So we'll talk about that when we continue. Hanging in is Brian Stitt, the president of Wandering Calf, a not-for-profit, to promote the cinema arts in Quincy. And I don't know about you, Brian, but when I look back at my day planner, my weekends and most of my weeknights, there's always something, you know, Quincy Community Theater, Symphony, Quincy Civic Music Association, opening at the Arts Center, whatever, you know. I mean, it was just like bang, 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 1,000,000,000 things to do. Now suddenly, nothing. I mean, nothing. And
yes.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. And yet, especially, you know, if you want to see a big screen movie, you obviously can't see it unless, you know, you have a big screen. So how has this impacted you personally and your friend group at Wandering Calf, who obviously are artsy fartsy people, as, you know, I call them. I kind of count myself in on that crowd.
Sure.
How has this impacted your life, this dearth of expression, shall we say?
Well, it has been difficult because, while, you know, we still can watch a movie in the comfort of our own home or watch a television show, getting out and experiencing those things with other people is gone. I am amazed at how creative everyone is getting. I have some friends who were able to use some sort of software so that we could all watch the same movie on our computer screens together. We had a computer screen set up with video chatting, and we were all able to watch the same movie at the same time, which I thought was, and talk about it while we're watching the movie. That was pretty fascinating. I think getting stuck at home is leading to a lot of pretty ingenious ideas of ways to hang out with each other.
You know, the social media has allowed this to be bearable. I remember, what, about 8 years ago, we had that big windstorm in Quincy, and electricity was out for a long time, like for some people, 5 to 7 days. And the teenagers were going insane because no television, no phone. You know, they burned
up. Nothing to do,
nothing to do, clearly. And they were, you know, like I remember having a conversation with a coworker, much younger than me. She said, well, I don't think I'll be able to come to work tomorrow on time. I said, why not? She goes, well, without my phone, I can't set my alarm. I don't have any battery. And how will I get up? I said, walk down to Dollar General and buy a $5 alarm clock that you wind up and set it. You can't be serious. But they have no concept of a world without electricity. And so this is kind of interesting because we have electricity. So we are still, you know, we can watch Elton John put on a concert. We can watch, you know, John Legend
put
on a concert. Garth and Trisha are going to put on a concert. And in a sense, people who couldn't afford to go see them at the stadium for $75 a pop can just tune in free of charge over their television set and enjoy maybe some art they wouldn't be privy to before.
Oh, that's right. The Metropolitan Opera out of New York is putting a lot of their stuff online to watch for free. I know a lot of several Broadway shows are putting up some films versions of what they do online for free. It's really amazing how much art there is. Museums even. I know there are museums that are allowing sort of virtual walkthroughs where you can see where all the art is placed and look at it closely. It's amazing.
Well, Arts Quincy, Laura Sievert emailed me yesterday or today, I can't remember, but she's got, like, they're doing little walking tours of different places, you know, socially distanced. They're just taking in a camera, and here's the Gardner Museum, or here's the brewery,
right,
and here's the, you know, Villa Catherine, and here's this. And for some people who have never been there, they can go visit virtually, and then maybe it will make them want to go see the place in real time when it's back open. Do you, this is a terrible question to ask you because I don't know how you would possibly make a, you know, an educated guess, but I'll ask
sure.
you anyway. What do you think this means for some of our arts organizations? Because, like, for example, the Quincy Community Theater, the Symphony, Civic Music Association, there's really no way to make up, in a sense, their missed performances. I mean, they might be able to. But, you know, basically once that, you know, once the Siberian Orchestra didn't come, it didn't come, and it's not going to come. So
right.
What do you think this means for the arts industry in general in Quincy? Because we do worry about our restaurant industry, but I also worry about our arts industry.
Yeah, I think I'm very hopeful because of how strongly the community has supported it. Throughout the years, and I think people really love that Quincy has this strong of an arts community, so I think it will survive, but it really cannot be overstated how devastating it is for them. We're Wandering Cath as happens to be in a pretty lucky position because we don't pay rent anywhere. You know, we don't have all of these things that have to be done at a particular time. It really just takes a few people. So we're going to be fine on the other side, but I mean, Quincy Community Theater was 1 week away from putting on Chicago.
Right.
And now, you know, I've talked to some of the people. I have some friends who were going to be in the show, and they still want to do it, but it, just in terms of scheduling, just, you know, getting that same group of people
right.
who have rehearsed this play every night for 2 months back into the same room at the same time is difficult. Some people are going to have other obligations. You know, it's and just from that perspective. And then from the opportunity cost loss, I mean, a lot of these people have, you know, they have budgets that are determined, okay, we'll get this much money from this event and this much money from that event, and that's how we can stay afloat. And if you lose even 2 months, that can throw off your whole yearly schedule. And so it's definitely going to be, you know, something where the people are going to have to be a lot more cognizant of how much that has hurt these organizations, just not being able to operate.
I hope that true patrons will truly understand that it was, you know, not through any fault of anyone. And maybe they'll say, I know you didn't show me Chicago, but maybe I won't ask for a refund. I don't know. If you bought an individual ticket, I guess, you know, it's up to you to decide. But I would hope that, I don't know what their policy is, because, you know, I have season tickets and nobody contacted me and said, Miss Griffiths, you know, we can't put this show on for you. Would you like your money back? Nor would I take
right.
it. You know, I mean, right. it's like, okay, I have these tickets and this is a commitment I made to support you for a season. And if, you know, I don't get the Calendar Girls and I don't get Chicago, I'll be disappointed, but I won't say, where's my money back? But some people might, you know, and I guess that's their prerogative.
Sure.
Most people that support the arts in Quincy do it because of the overarching impact, not because of one particular thing. That's people who buy a ticket to one show. They want to see that, only that. They could be adversely impacted and want their money back. But I would hope that a lot of people who are arts patrons would just say, well, you didn't do it deliberately. So, but wouldn't it be great if somehow, I mean, because Quincy Community Theater does have that black box theater, so you could practice and have a show on the boards at the same time. They've never done it because, you know, blah, blah, blah. But wouldn't it be
right.
great if we could get Chicago up and if we could get Calendar Girls up? And, I mean,
bang,
bang,
gosh.
Bang. No turnaround at all. Just like real New York theater, baby. Just bang it out. Bang it out.
That's right. And I got to say, the people who do it are so committed to it and passionate about it that, on the one hand, it's like, how could they possibly do this in the future? I mean, all of these things are so tightly scheduled. There's no way that they can do it. But at the same time, I have no doubt that they could find a way.
Maybe they'll find a way, yeah.
Because all of those people are just so dedicated to bringing that to Quincy and doing it and performing it. So I'm very hopeful about it. But you're right that people do need to consider, you know, if you're not going to miss that money for the ticket, considering it as a donation is a good idea.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that people do that. Brian Stitt, my guest today, I said when I opened the show that it is very rare on the Mary Griffiths Show, since I book, you know, the show pretty much myself. Sometimes people suggest guests when I have no idea what the topic of that day is going to be, even if I know the name of the person and their organization. And I knew something, it had something to do with movies, and that was all I knew about Wandering Calf. If folks wanted to join your Mary band in hopes that, you know, COVID-19 will be lifted soon and we can get back to watching movies, how do they get in touch with you, Brian? How do they join Wandering Calf? Or is it by invitation only? Are you exclusive?
We are by no means exclusive. We will take all the help we can get. Our website is the easiest place, centralized, wanderingcalf.org. But, you know, we have a Facebook page under Wandering Calf. You can email us at wanderingcalf@gmail.com. We're pretty easy to get in contact with, especially these days when don't get too far from our phones.
That's true.
Always well charged. But, and you can just email us and you can ask us if there's anything you would like to do. You could say, hey, there's this movie coming out I'm excited about. Is there any chance you're going to show it? You can just talk to us, say, hey, is there a movie available that I can download right now that would be good? I'm willing to give recommendations as well.
Yeah, maybe you ought to be our theater critic, Brian. You can come on and talk. The trouble with theater critics in Quincy is you can talk about how great movies are, but if they don't show at our local, you know, unless it's going to be Toy Story, you know, 8.
That's right.
Well, before we close this out, let me ask you this. People
sure.
are all hyped up about the new James Bond, and of course they've had to, you know, push it back. when it comes to a franchise like Bond, James Bond, is that something you as a movie person get excited about, or is it like sequels are so been there, done that, or do you say there's always a way to make it better because the character endures and, you know, Bond's always got a new girl and a new situation?
I'll say this. I think there's always a chance to make a good James Bond movie. I don't necessarily think that they will, but there's nothing preventing it. Some of the new ones I think are great. Some of the old ones are bad. You know, and one of the fun things about a franchise that's run that long is that, you know, you can go back through and see, wow, they thought that was the cool clothes then? Oh man. Wait, is that a good car or a bad car? I'm not quite sure.
I think one of the key changes in James Bond was definitely in the early 80s when HIV came on the scene. James Bond went from a guy who, if he went 20 minutes without going to bed with a different woman, you're like, let's get going.
That's
here,
right.
James. You know, this is what James Bond does. Every different day, different girl, lunch, noon, breakfast, different chick. All the time. HIV hits, and that Bond movie, that guy didn't even kiss the girl. You know?
Well, right.
He loved her from afar.
You would think with all his gadgetry, he could have found some sort of protection, but...
Well, I don't think we knew exactly back then exactly, you know, everything there was to know. So he just loved her from afar. It was a very tame James Bond. Well, this has been delightful, Brian. I hope people have enjoyed it. You know, a lot of people are listening to the radio now that normally would be at work, but they've got some free time on their hands. And so I hope we got some good listeners that have joined us for the first time. And good luck to you with Wandering Calf. Make sure we know when the first movie or the next movie does come up on the big screen. Things will get back to normal here, hopefully not too long from now. But until then, until then, we can just Netflix and chill, I guess, huh?
That's right. And there's a lot of good movies available on the Internet these days. If you sometimes have to look for a while. But, yeah, we'll be back. Hopefully we can do our show at the end of – we have a show at the Quincy Arts Center booked at the end of May. May 29th and 30th, that fingers crossed we'll still be able to hit.
Well, I would love to be able to promote that, so I will be hoping for that time frame as well. Thank you so very much, Brian.
Sure. Thanks for having me on.